think timing is just everything. So we don't know when it'll happen, but optimistically being that way, I think that's something that we can get done.
All right, a little bonus Know Them From Adam podcast this week, and we weren't planning on having this happen, but Michael Vick has a football camp Sunday in Virginia Beach. And being that he's got the camp going, we figure we get him on the line. We're going to touch on what he'd like to do next and how he'd like to stay involved in football. And the answer will surprise you, I believe. He recently had ankle surgery, and he talks about how his body is feeling today. Talked about going to the rookie premiere in Los Angeles recently and getting a chance to sit down to talk with Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs' first-round draft pick, DeShone Kizer, the Browns' second-round draft pick, and the one rookie that really surprised him most, in addition to a number of other topics. But first, if you like this Know Them From Adam podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and make suggestions about how we can make it better or who you'd like to hear on any upcoming episode. Without any further ado, Mike Vick. Hey, Mike, thanks very much for joining us today. Appreciate it. We got a lot of ground to get to, but I also know that you've got the Vick's V7 Elite Playmaker Showcase Series coming up this weekend at the Virginia Beach Fieldhouse on Sunday. Tell me a little bit about the program and what you're thinking of doing here.
June 4th, this Sunday in Virginia. So I'm going back home. So I really want a good turnout. I had good turnouts in Dallas, Tennessee, and Atlanta. Atlanta, obviously. But I really want Virginia to be, you know, visible. I want them to come out and show support.
And, Mike, this is the series that you are trying to turn into a football academy, is it not?
Yeah, it's a showcase, which is not your typical camp. It's combine-based, so it's all the drills that they go through at the combines, and they got one-on-one drills with the offensive linemen, running backs and linebackers, DBs and receivers, and the quarterbacks are in real competitive, competitive atmospheres where they got, you know, one-on-ones, and they got to show up. You know, they got to compete to get national recognition from all types of college coaches, and it's live streamed. So it's just a good opportunity for the kids to showcase their talent and for them to get a better look and get some coaches' eyes on them that's in the college world.
Now, you've done this before, this camp. Have you turned out any players that have gone on to great things?
Well, I've had several players who have come through my camps, and a lot of the kids I'd never even kept in contact with. They just send me, you know, text messages, or they'll send me emails on social media, direct messages. Hey, I came through your camp years ago. It was great, and, you know, we, you know, had a great time, and those guys are, you know, now going on to bigger and better things, and some of them playing in the National Football League. So it's gratifying to see that the recipe really works, but this is an opportunity that I have now to really be involved, really stay connected, really help them out in whatever way I can, and I think it starts on the field and translates off the field as well.
What is the most gratifying part of this camp for you?
Well, I think I just love the competition part of it. Being a young kid at a certain time in my life, I didn't have football combines to go to. I didn't have ways to get more eyes from collegiate coaches on me, watching me. I really had to do everything on the field. Now this is an opportunity for quarterbacks, receivers, DBs to come in, showcase their talent. You know, you get national recognition. Yeah. You get to go one-on-one. You get to compete at a high level. You get to really show your skills, and it's detailed, and it's intense, and I just love the momentum that we have and just the overall structure of the combine.
Is there anybody there that is unaware of your previous football accomplishments?
Not at all. The kids, man, they must have Googled me, or I think I just made this generation in terms of notoriety and you know, kids being able to you know, go back and look at my stats, so their parents might be fans, and they go back and look at my highlights, and then the name resonate, and, you know, it's just good to be able to be visible for them to know that I'm an approachable guy. I was once in their position, and now I'm back trying to help them progress as student athletes.
What is the one message that you try to impart to these young men as they take part in the Vick's V7 Elite Playmakers Showcase Series?
most important is being the best student that they can be. I understand that everybody wants to be one of the greatest football players to ever play the game or play in the National Football League one day, but I think everything happens in stages, and in order to get into college, you have to be a great student in high school. So I always ask the kids, you know, how are your grades, what you doing in school, you know, what's most important to you, because, you know, just like you can change the world in the game of football, you can change the world, you know, away from the game, you know, in different fields. So, you know, want them to know that, listen, it's not always all about football. It's about becoming a, you know, successful individual, first and foremost.
When do you think you learned that?
I think I really learned that going into college. Some of the experiences that I had in high school weren't the best. I played good football, but I didn't always take school serious. You know, it wasn't until the last minute crunch time and the, you know, final hours that I really had to buckle down and become a better student. And I think going through that experience made me not want to go through that type of ordeal ever again in terms of, you know, waiting until the 11th hour to, you know, really get my priorities in order. So, you know, I want them to be structured. I want them to understand that, look, football is secondary. You know, academics is primary. But when you come out on the field, we compete like never before. And these kids, they show off. They try to show me that they are the best. And I appreciate it. I just ask that they, you know, take care of one another and stay healthy doing it.
Were you a good student in college, Mike?
I was a decent student. I think I had a 2.5 GPA. You know, the type of notoriety that I ran into, it was autographs and everything was for free. So, you know, it had its perks, but at the same time, I wanted to show my coaches that, you know, I wasn't just a good football player, that I was a great individual overall. So football, I took a lot of initiative to become the best, and you know, even in the classroom, you know, with the limited amount of time I had, I did the best I could.
You mentioned that notoriety had its perks. What were some of the pitfalls of that notoriety?
Well, I think when you get to a certain level of fame, or people start to recognize, you know, your status, you start to live in a different world. And coming from where I came from, I never had it. I had to get used to it, and there was a big-time adjustment. So being spoiled early, you know, that never leaves you. In college, you know, I always respected my coaches, but, you know, I was spoiled. I did everything right on the field, so they always took care of me. And, you know, when you get to the National Football League, it's not the same. You know, you have to be an overall, you know, student of the game. You have to overall be locked in and focused at all times, and you can't leave any stones unturned. So I think, you know, going into college, I learned that, you know, you have to have structure, but more so when I got to the NFL, it was even more detailed.
Now, you spent the last year out of football, and I would imagine that was probably the first time that you've been without football in a very, very, very long time, your entire adult life, obviously.
It was somewhat a bit of a relief for me. I think my last year in Pittsburgh, I was kind of thrown into the fire early, and you know, was still learning the offense. And you know, anytime I step on the field, I want to be the best at doing what I did. And you know, I was thrown out there early, and thank God I was able to rely on a lot of my experience and have great players around me to help win football games. And we'll win one football game that I think was important, you know, throughout the course of that season. You know, because we were able to make the playoffs. But, you know, it was, you know, it was a sign of relief. You know, I just had a chance to step back away from the game and really appreciate watching and being a fan of the game. I could, you know, really relate to that from being a kid and loving the game. And, you know, the love and passion is still in me. I won't deny it. But at the same time, I'm very content.
Relief. I would not have expected that that would have been the word that you would have used to describe your experience away from football. Relief.
Yeah, I only say that because, Adam, I was a starter for, you know, 11 years. And, you know, in New York, you know, it was a difficult situation, but, you know, I managed. And, you know, did I handle it the best? No. It was my first year really being a true backup. And, you know, I thought at times I should have been playing, but You know, as a competitor, you always want to play, and I think that should be your attitude. And, you know, there were times that I let my guard down, and then going to Pittsburgh, you know, I had a great time in the locker room with the guys, and I thought it was one of the, you know, great flagship organizations in the National Football League. But it was just different, you know, not being active and, you know, not being a true backup. And, you know, as a competitor, those are things that I wanted. But, you know, I never wanted to get to a point where I felt like I wasn't earning my money. And in those two particular years, I felt like I wasn't earning my money.
And you never felt that before, correct?
Yeah, I never felt that before. So it was different, and, you know, I couldn't understand it. But, you know, I know the realities of the National Football League, so I could appreciate it.
Nobody during the year that you were off, during the year that you were experiencing the relief, nobody called. The Vikings didn't call after Teddy Bridgewater went down. The Raiders didn't call after Derek Carr went down.
Nobody called. And you know, surprisingly to myself, but at the same time, I really wasn't doing a lot to keep myself in tip-top shape. So if somebody would have called, I really wasn't ready. Like, I had removed myself away from the game, and I was preparing myself not to get a call because I didn't want to be disappointed like I was the year before. So I didn't want to put my heart into it. If, you know, those feelings weren't mutual among certain teams. Now, if there would have been some interest in saying, listen, we know you can come in and be our backup, and we want you to compete for it, then I would have been all in. And I would have maybe reconsidered, and I took a different approach because football is all mental. You have to go in mentally prepared, and, you know, if it would have happened at all, I would have wanted to at least go through OTAs and, you know, just have the proper training and teaching before I went out and tried to compete.
So what did you do during the year away from football this past year? How did you spend most of your time, Mike?
Man, you know what? The year went by so fast. I had, you know, a ton of appearances and, you know, spent time putting together the V7 Elite showcase, yep. Putting the right team and the right staff together, you know, tried to spend time, you know, trying to make a collaboration with Nike and extending that relationship and continue to form V7 for the next generation with my cleat and that I had retro that I wanted, was trying to get retro and my shooter that I had retro and still trying to play an active role in the game of football and trying to figure out what's next. So I think it was a great opportunity, and the thing was I was just blessed to you know, be financially stable and have some time to, you know, decompress and not have any pressure on me, you know, so I can figure out what was best. But I think the priority for me is, you know, to continue to help kids, and, you know, at some point, you know, if I can you know, coach one day or be an ambassador for somebody, then maybe that's a great opportunity too.
Well, would you like to coach one day?
Yeah, I think my heart is really into the teaching, you know, the game of football. And I feel like I've learned so much from so many great coaches over the years. You know, I don't want to bottle up a lot of knowledge and, you know, really can't relay the messages that I want to relay, you know, to a high school kid, because you don't have to dumb it down, but you can't be as complex. And,
yep.
And I get that. So, you know, on a collegiate level or professional level, you can express ideas, you can go into detail, and, you know, you can coach hard, and that's what I want to be able to do.
So what level do you want to coach at, ideally?
I mean, I would love to coach in the National Football League one day, whether it's position coach or I wouldn't say a coordinator as of yet, because I would have to get a feel for what the game is like.
Yep.
But, you know, yeah, at some point I would definitely love to help work with young quarterbacks and develop them and still compete, you know, with the team and with the coaches. And it's another way to chase a championship. You know, I'm not done. I'm not done by any means. You know, I didn't get the championship when I was playing. So, hey, maybe I get lucky one year, may be able to, fortunate enough to join a staff that may be good enough. So, you know, that's the fun part about the game of football, man. It's such a great art. It's such a great game, man, that I just have the utmost respect for it, and that'll never die.
Mike, have you spoken with any of your former coaches, any of your former organizations about the idea of getting involved with coaching with them in any kind of way right now?
Not as of yet. I have a lot of coaches that I have relationships with, and,
yep.
You know, they always call and ask, you know, what are you thinking? What are you doing? They call to check on me to make sure that, you know, I'm okay and my family's okay. And a lot of them was concerned that I didn't play ball last year and you know, wanted to make sure that mentally I was okay and stable. And, you know, so I appreciate that. And I know it's enough coaches out there that I know who, you know, have enough respect for me and my understanding of the game to know that I can bring value. So I just want to take it slow and just let it happen naturally.
What were those coaches who were calling you so concerned about? Like, it seems like they quit calling on you and checking on you. They were
just my well-being.
You How know, come?
I think it's more so, you know, the relationships and friendships that we have with myself and my family that, you know, they know me as a person. They know my heart. They know my intentions were always good. Whether I was starting or whether I was, you know, as the second team quarterback helping young guys develop. And, you know, I took pride in it every day, man. Like I said, I would never disrespect the game of football, never have, never will. And I think they respect that part of my game. Like we, you know, there were times we didn't have the best years, but, you know, throughout all the fight, you know, the love was still there.
Now, what are some of the lessons that you took from some of your coaches here during your time in the NFL? There are enough that you came across. Can you give me a little bit of what you learned from, say, Jim Mora or Andy Reid?
Yeah, I think Tomlin? from Jim, from Andy, from Rex, from Dan Reeves, Mike Tomlin. I see how hard these guys work, and I see the passion that they put into it. Andy spent countless hours around the facility. You know, Mike Tomlin comes in every morning with his cup of coffee, and he's wired up, and he's ready to go. But you know that he's focused, and he has an understanding of the opposition and what's going to happen. So he's able to convey that to his players. And, you know, Jim always came in with a lot of intensity and, you know, very smart man, and guys respected him. And, you know, Dan Reeves, he was one of the smartest coaches that I've ever been around offensively. He really took my game to another level, worked extremely hard, had me as a young kid, developed me and did some good things with my game. And, you know, I got to a Pro Bowl, you know, under his tutelage. So, you know, Andy was great. He was like a mentor. He was you know, a great guy, you know, outside of the game of football.
Yeah.
Guy you could just sit and talk with and have general conversation about family, about friends, about endorsements, you know, anything that came up. So I had such a great run. I have so many great relationships. All those guys I can pick up the phone and call any day.
You mentioned that Andy was a mentor of yours. What do you think Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs' first-round draft pick, is going to learn from Andy Reid?
He's going to get it all. I mean, I talked to Patrick in California a couple weeks ago and, you know, just told him, you know, he has such a great opportunity. And just to be behind Alex Smith, who, you know, is a very cerebral quarterback and understands the game, you know, short game, long game, know how to manage the game, it doesn't get any better than that. And then he has Andy, who's, you know, the head coach who's going to make sure that he developed properly. So he's in a great position. So I told him to pick Andy's brain, never be afraid to ask him a question. Don't be afraid to go into his office. You know, and just be, you know, very outspoken, very outgoing, and show that you can be a leader at a young age and take pride in the scout team. So I told him, listen, now while you're developing, just pick his brain.
Mike, how did it come to be that you spoke to Patrick? Did Andy ask you to speak to him? Did he call you on his own? What happened there?
No, well, I went down to the rookie premiere
yep.
a week ago, and Patrick was there. So we bumped into one another, but right after Andy made the pick, at the draft, I texted him right after. I said, Coach, I think this is a good one. And he texted me back, I hope so, you know, with a wink. So, yeah, he believes in it. And I know Patrick is certainly, you know, a very confident young man. And I respect that about him.
Did you get a chance to talk to the rookies at the rookie premiere, Mike?
Yeah. I spoke. Steve Smith spoke. Marcellus Wiley was there. You know, we all had a chance to stand up and say a couple words, and we all talked for at least 5 minutes. And I think the message was clear, man. It's, you know, you want to get to, you know, 10-plus years, you got to put in the work. And, you know, one or two seasons don't suffice. That's not a successful career in the eyes of former players who have played the game, you know, with a great amount of integrity for a long time. So I think they get it. It's a very smart class. They had to do a seminar and show us what they wanted their careers to be like, and I thought every kid in there did a great job of representing themselves and their families in terms of, you know, what they wanted to get out of the game. And, you know, those are certainly the type of conduct guys that you want to have in the National Football League in the future, in years to come.
So you had a chance to interact with some of these guys like Patrick Mahomes. Is there one guy that left a mark on you that was especially curious or inquisitive and kept asking you questions, or somebody that you interacted with that made you think this guy has a chance to be special?
I think all the guys were special in their own right. Deshaun Watson was really impressive. I had a chance to talk to Mitch Trubisky at the end. You know, I'm a quarterback guy, so, you know, excuse me for that. Deshaun Kaiser, I thought, was, you know, just an incredibly intelligent kid in this presentation, you know, with this guy, with his group. And, you know, I will say D.D. Westbrook was a guy that stood out. He's very outgoing. He knows what he wants in the game of football. He's a family-first guy, and I think he has all his priorities in order to be a successful player, not to take anything away from anybody in the room, but Dede has all the answers, man. So I can't wait to watch these guys, man, and like I told him, I'm so excited. I can't wait for this season to come up, and I told him I'm going to stay busy this entire summer just so the season can get here fast.
What was it about Dede Westbrook that stood out to you, Mike?
He just has confidence in himself. You know, you can tell he's a natural leader. He's not going to hold anything back. He says what he means, but he says it in the right way. And he's very polite. And as long as he's able to, you know, be humble and approach the game with a certain level of humility, because he is outspoken, then he will have some success in this league. So, you know, I'm rooting for Dede. You know, he's going to be a great player, man, and, you know, I definitely like his game.
Mike, you were a very difficult player to defend back in the day.
Yeah.
Not that long ago. Who was the toughest defender that you would go against?
There were two. Julius Peppers, I will say, in Atlanta, was very pest out there on the field, and I couldn't really get comfortable ever as far as even in the run game, the passing game. He was always around the ball. He was always around me, and it's funny, you know, my brother used to laugh because he used to always say he was just like the coyote chasing the rabbit, you know. And listen, I've always tried to dodge defenders and did the best I could as far as my mobility, but it did not work against Julius Peppers. So if people go back and watch the film, they'll see what I'm talking about. He used to tackle me, shoes flying off, helmet coming off, and he was the only guy that did that. And I will say Derek Brooks was extremely tough as well.
Derek Brooks,
so
yeah.
Between those two, I don't know who gave me the most fits, but, you know, I enjoyed those days, but I hated lining up against the Bucks and against Carolina.
And what does it say to you that Julius Peppers is still playing today?
I mean, it's a credit to him and his work ethic and taking care of his body. You know, you have various guys who can play into, you know, their 14th and 15th season, especially with that type of physicality in the trenches. So I have a lot of respect for Julius and, you know, what he's done, you know, over the course of his career, and I think he's a future Hall of Famer.
We bring up the defenders that you went up against. Is there a quarterback in the game today that you would pay to watch, somebody that really impresses you?
Well, obviously Tom. Tom is very impressive to watch. I've always been a fan of his, and, you know, the things he do doesn't surprise me. But, I mean, honestly, I would say in the NFC South, man, Matt Ryan and Cam Newton. You know, just two impressive quarterbacks to watch, two different styles. Both are efficient. And, you know, being honest, you never know what you're going to get out of them when you watch them. You can get, you know, Matt throwing for 300 yards and three touchdowns to Julio, and Cam just doing a variety of things in a run game, pass game. And 2015 was an exceptional year for him. Mm-hmm. So those guys are very efficient and really get the job done when necessary. And two back-to-back MVPs I just named. So I'm a quarterback guy. Like I say, I just love diversity in the game.
Matt Ryan took over for you in Atlanta. How would you describe the relationship you have with him?
Oh, me and Matt are cool, man. I mean, whenever we bump into each other, you know, it's always, you know, good cordial conversation, man. And, you know, a lot of memories and reminiscence of, you know, certain moments and times we played against one another. And, just good talk, man, all the time. And, you know, we're going to play some golf soon. We owe each other a round, so we're looking forward to that. But, you know, he's shooting in the 70s. I'm still a mid-80s guy. I got some work to do.
But you and he have played golf before together, Mike?
No, not as of yet. When he had his tournament, I was just coming off ankle surgery. I had ankle surgery 2 months ago. So I'm just now recovering and walking.
Do you ever look at him in the position he's in and think that maybe that could have been me manning that position in Atlanta?
I think you always can, you know, reflect back to your days and say, man, that could have been me. But if that would have been me right now, that would be me in, you know, with my 16th or 17th season. And playing the way I played, I don't know, durability-wise, I would have lasted that long. I think everything happens in life for a reason. And, you know, my path that God chose for me was my path, and I had to live it out. And, you know, it didn't exist in terms of, you know, reality, me being an Atlanta Falcon for, you know, 15-plus years. Do I wish it would have been that way? Yes, yeah. Because I feel bad, you know, always going back to the city and, you know, people saying we appreciate the time and we, you know, thank you and we was fans when you were here. So I do feel like I didn't, give enough time. But, hey, that wasn't the path that God chose for me. So, you know, they got blessed with a good quarterback, took the city to a Super Bowl, and I think they're going to do great things in the future.
How would you describe your relationship with that organization in that city right now?
I think it's great, man. Overall, I just left this past weekend, and prematurely it was put out that I was going to be signing a one-day contract with the Falcons. And I was asked a question on the radio show, and I said, yeah, sure, I hope that it would happen. And people took that and ran with it. But the truth of the matter, it was so many people in the city as I walked, you know, the streets throughout the weekend. Prior to the showcase, man, everybody saying, listen, we hope you retire as a Falcon. We love you here. We want you here. Do you still live here? So, you know, the love is still there with the fans. And the organization still reaches out from time to time. And the love is still there, man. I mean, it'll never die. And, you know, I think I'm always be a Falcon at heart, you know. And I always cherish those moments, have great memories to look back on.
But nobody has spoken to you about retiring as an Atlanta Falcon or in a one-day contract in that organization?
Not as of yet. You know, even when I went back in January when they had the ceremony at the end, you know, I did mention it and, you know, made reference to it that it was something that I want to do. And they said, you know, obviously they would take it into consideration. And I think timing is just everything. So we don't know when it'll happen, but optimistically being that way, I think that's something that we can get done. You know, it's I think it's something that the fans may want. I think it'll be great for the city. You know, obviously it'll be one and done, and it'll be nothing else left to talk about. And, you know, I could be a Falcon for life.
Were you disappointed when the team lost the Super Bowl last year?
Yes. Yes. It was a very difficult night. I mean, I was so ecstatic and happy for Arthur Blank and Rich McKay and, you know, just, you know, years of being, you know, with the team and, you know, just fighting year in and year out and, you know, some years coming up short, some years making the playoffs. A couple years ago, one game away from the NFC Championship, well, the Super Bowl. So, you know, I always rooted for them from afar, other than when we were playing them in Philly. And, you know, I just thought it was about to happen, and I was so happy for Mr. Blank. I'm like, this is everything that I know he wants. But, you know, at the end of the day, it didn't happen, and I know he's still proud of the team. They have a lot to be proud about. They have a great team this year coming back, and a lot of, you know, a couple of veteran guys and a great young core offensively and defensively, and what more can you ask for?
Yeah. You think Mr. Blank will improve his dance moves any, Mike?
Yeah, he will, because they're going to win some games this year. I promise you that. So they're going to win some games, so he might as well get the two-stepping.
I should also ask you, you were once a Madden cover boy in 2004, and I don't know if there was ever a player that was more difficult to defend on that game than you and your 95 speed. Do you believe in these Madden cover jinxes? Like, does Tom Brady have anything to be worried about this season?
Not at all. So we all know. Listen, I don't want to speak anything into existence, but I think Tom is an Iron Man, and I think the curse has been was broken maybe years ago, so it no longer exists. So listen, we need Tom for the game of football, and we won't talk about the Madden curse or anybody else getting cursed from here on out. I think we can dismiss that whole thought.
we can get rid of that right now, right?
Yeah, we can dismiss it.
You know, also, you brought up Cam Newton before, and he makes a living running the football as well as he does throwing the football. Is there any advice that he has ever asked of you or you've given to him, knowing quarterbacks the way you do, about preserving his body with the way it's been abused in recent seasons?
Well, I seen Cam about 3 months ago at a high school all-star game that I was coaching, and, you know, I just asked him how was he physically, and he said he was recovering from the season, and he told me that he would be having surgery. And, you know, I just told him as he get older, continue to, you know, take care of his body and preserve his body. And even, you know, in the 3 weeks into the offseason, he still looked like he was in great shape. So I think the one thing that he understands now is that self-preservation is important and taking care of his body is important. And I think he already does a great job of that. But, you know, now more than ever, I mean, these kids are coming into the NFL and they're flying, they're running fast, they're bigger, faster, and stronger. And, you know, we want to see Cam for the next, you know, 8-9 years, you know, in the Carolina Panthers uniform. And in order to get there, you know, so you don't wear down quick, you have to take care of yourself. And if it was one thing that I could have did better, you know, throughout the course of my career, I would have took care of myself, you know, in terms of, you know, not taking those extra hits. I may have taken about 2,500 extra hits that I shouldn't have taken.
Wow.
So, you know, it wore me down, and I'm not the biggest guy in the world. So the good thing is he has the body stature, but you still have to, you know, keep that in the back of your mind.
You paying a price for that physically at all today? Anything bother you?
Yeah, well, I'm just coming off of ankle surgery. It was something that I was supposed to do years back, and I prolonged it. So I finally got it done. It was continuing to bother me just in, you know, day-to-day activity. So I had a cyst in my ankle, and I had, you know, some arthritis and some cartilage damage, and, you know, it all needed to be cleaned up. And it helps with my mobility now. I only had like 20% mobility the last 5 or 6 years of my career, so it really limited me in what I could do. But, you know, as a competitor, man, you want to be out there. You don't have time for surgery. You don't have time to sit out. You know, I was just a full steam ahead guy. So, you know, I still appreciate everything the game has done for me, and it was all worth it. And if I had to do it all over again, I'd probably do it the same way.
That's the only thing, though, your ankle that's really bothering you today, Mike?
Yeah, ankle and my left shoulder at times. And I had an MCL sprain that still bothers me from time to time. But the ankle was really the problem. And, you know, I got it all fixed up, so it's ready to go. So I just started walking maybe 3 weeks ago. Huh. Still can't run yet, but I'm working to get there.
And the last thing before I let you go, and I thank you for your time, you had mentioned coaching. If a college approached you, is there a college coaching job right now that also would interest you? I know you mentioned coaching the NFL, and hopefully one day that'll happen, and you know enough people to make it happen. But would you be willing to go to...
I think I would enjoy coaching on a college level. I would want to start at a small school first, and just kind of get a feel of the routine and get a feel for recruiting and school and, you know, what exactly does it take. I feel like I, you know, with my relationships, I can assemble the right staff to put a championship pedigree together. So, yeah, that sparks my interest as well. I think first and foremost I have to, you know, consult with guys like Coach Dan Reeves and Andy Reid and Jim Moore, Doug Peterson, who I know very well. I think I have to consult with them first and pick their brain to figure out, you know, what does it take to become a great coach first before I jump in. So I'm going to keep all my options open, and, you know, hopefully one day, man, you see me on the sideline with the visor on and the headset.
But the NFL would be first, correct?
Yeah, NFL would be first.
That's your first. Well, you got to make that happen here, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly going to push for it. I think I'm ready for that. See, I feel like the NFL is just hard work. You know, you have to study as a coach. You have to prepare your guys. And that's pretty much it. Now, you got all day to do it. The thing is, I don't have to go practice. I can be the best coach that I can be just by putting in the time and the effort and making sure my guys are prepared. That's easy because I overdo it in that department. So now it's about watching the kids and seeing them progress and seeing them get better, and that's what makes it gratifying. So I'm so looking forward to it. I'm just using the showcases as a platform now because I know a lot of these kids that I'm working with today and tomorrow will be future players in the NFL in the next 4, 5, 6 years. So that's when I'll be, you know, making that connection again.
But you are prepared to put in the hours that go along with coaching, huh?
Yeah, I'm prepared for it. I feel like I put in a lot of hours in football as a quarterback, and especially the last 6, 7 years when I spent a lot of time watching film, spent a lot of time getting in the building early, taking care of my body, understanding what the hard work had been put in was all about. And I did that for, 5 or 6 straight years.
Yeah.
And I understand, I seen my coaches come in and seen them put in the hard work, and I seen how hard they worked to make sure that we were successful, you know, for the entire organization. So I know what it takes. So when I commit to it, I'm going to be all the way in.
Well, one more time, the Vicks V7 Elite Playmakers Showcase Series this weekend, Virginia Beach, the Virginia Beach Playhouse. I get that right, Mike?
Virginia Beach Fieldhouse.
Fieldhouse.
Starting at 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock.
Starting at 10 o'clock, I appreciate you taking the time. Lots of luck with the event this weekend and continued success with the ankle and everything else, Mike.
Hey, thanks, Adam.